Division 5, Canticle 5, The Consummation, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 14. The Bride Unveiled, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. Song of Solomon 7 does not correspond with any one of Paul's epistles specifically, but the purpose of all of Paul's writings is to present a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5 shows the marriage relation as a fitting symbol of the union of Christ and his bride. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter! The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Song of Solomon 7, verse 1. The word Nadab, translated prince, is related to the word Aminadab, princely people, in Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 12. No doubt she is called the prince's daughter because she is a daughter of faith. Abraham was once called a prince, and he is said to be the father of all them that believe. Romans 4:11. This woman is commended for her walk of faith. When the children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, they walked the long journey through the wilderness into Canaan. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. And, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Nehemiah 9:21. Israel was a figure of believers who are delivered out of the bondage of sin and from the power of the flesh, and who finally enter into Canaan and fellowship with God. This truth is set forth in detail in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where the Christian experiences are spoken of as a walk of faith. Truly, it is by walking in the truth that we will reach this desired destination to which we are traveling. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. This reminds us of a fine watch set with jewels for perfection and for durability. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels. The perfect walk is dependent upon the perfect joints of the thighs. A hip out of joint will make the walk lame. The walk of this one is perfect because the joints of the thighs are set in jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. This masterpiece of the heavenly workman has 16 jewels. Each one of the following citations sets forth this beautiful walk of faith. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. Genesis 5:22. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Romans 4, verse 12. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 8. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3, verse 18. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Colossians 2:6. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2, verse 6. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Song of Solomon 7, verse 2. Thy navel is like a round goblet. In the natural, the navel is the place where the umbilical cord was severed from the child at birth. We find this word navel in Proverbs 3:8, where it begins by an admonition to a son to keep the word of the Lord. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In this verse, there is a hint that we receive nourishment from the word of God by faith, as the unborn child receives nourishment from its mother. As long as we are living in the world, we feed on the word of God. We appropriate the promises of God by faith, and they become our life and our strength. But the time is coming when we will be cut loose from the written word of God. Faith will not be needed anymore. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is spoken of as a birth in Psalm 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. In Acts 13:33, we find that the Apostle Paul connects that verse with Jesus' resurrection. While Christ was on the earth, he was identified with the natural creation, for he took on him the form of flesh. But in his resurrection, he was clothed with the glory which he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. In our own case, the redemption of our body, which is yet future, is spoken of as the adoption or son placing. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:23. Which wanteth not liquor. These words speak of the ecstatic joy which shall fill and thrill us when the trumpet sounds and we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, when at that time faith shall triumph into glory. I was listening on the radio when one of our astronauts was about to start on his rocket trip. I heard the announcer say these words, "The umbilical is cut and he is on his own now." These words reminded me of this verse, and I understood it better. When the mechanism of the rocket was cut loose from the power on earth, it then soared on its own power into the air. To find oneself free from the earth and traveling at an unbelievable rate of speed up into the sky must be a very exciting and exhilarating experience. I am sure that we will be filled with indescribable delight when this experience becomes our own. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51-52. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Adam was a figure of him that was to come, that is, of Christ. Eve, being taken out of Adam's side and being a part of his own body, is a picture of the bride of Christ made up of saints who are separated wholly unto the Lord. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, Genesis 3, verse 20. She was a fruitful bride. In Genesis 24, we read of another bride, Rebekah. Before she left her kindred to go with Eliezer to become the bride of Isaac, her friends and her relatives blessed her and said, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Genesis 24, verse 60. This blessing has no doubt been fulfilled because Rebekah, as the wife of Isaac, was the mother of the Jewish people. Rebekah was also a type of the bride of Christ. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." John 12, verse 24. Christ was fruitful through his death and resurrection. The bride of Christ will be fruitful by being joined to the Lord in resurrection. After the union of Christ and his bride, the nations of the world will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. Israel will be the firstborn among the nations. The whole earth will then be filled with the glory of the Lord. "Thy breasts are like two young roes that are twins," Song of Solomon 7, verse 3. The breasts speak of nourishment for the thousands of millions. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, we see a picture of a very industrious woman interested in many activities. She pictures to us the woman who will be a helpmeet for Christ. His interests will be her interests. "Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bethrabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus," Song of Solomon 7, verse 4. "Thy neck is as a tower of ivory." Solomon made himself a throne of ivory, which is a figure of Christ's millennial throne. Ivory speaks of enduring strength. Christ's throne will never topple as the thrones of men do today. The neck as a tower of ivory symbolizes her steadfastness in holding Christ as her head. She acknowledges Christ's authority in all things, not in name only, but in actual, practical dependence upon him. "Thine eyes are like the fish pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bethrabim." What a peculiar comparison. The word Heshbon means reason. From Joshua 11, we learn that the new man takes possession of the place where the old man formerly reigned, Jabin, king of Hazor. Reason was the citadel of the old man, but Christ has dispossessed the old man and is now reigning in the place of reason. We learn to reason as God reasons. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1, verse 18. Since we have turned our reason over to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have learned to think as he thinks. If we look into a deep, dark pool, we see our own image reflected. When Christ looks into the eyes of this woman, his own image is reflected there. The eyes are the windows of the soul, and Christ is her life. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Reasoning has been dethroned by the power of God's Word. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. In Scripture, the nose corresponds with the gift of discerning of spirits. This woman has learned to discern truth from error. Oh, how wonderful it is that we discern spiritual truth when we hear it. This woman has had her senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Because she has come into a place of maturity, her nose is as the tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus. Damascus means silent is the sackcloth weaver. Who is it that weaves the sackcloth? It is the old man. He is always moaning and complaining and worrying. always weaving sackcloth and dressing in mourning garb. But thank the Lord, when she is dressed in this resplendent glory of the bridal garments, she can look toward Damascus and see that the sackcloth weaver is satisfied with this group of believers described as a woman. These saints will be fully mature and spiritually developed. They will be worthy to reign with him, and he will be delighted in them. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He surely did endure suffering for us." In Ephesians 5, verse 25, we read that Christ gave himself for the church, as though there were no other people in the world to be redeemed. She was the one special group that he was looking forward to that would be perfected in the things of God. No other people in all the world have had the privilege which has been accorded to the church to become perfect in Christ and let Christ come to full perfection in them. Because of the joy that would be his as a result of redemption, Christ endured the cross and despised the shame. He was crucified through weakness, 2 Corinthians 13:4. He was doing that to redeem us from our sins and to purify a people that are zealous to please him. Praise the Lord, he will be fully satisfied in his bride. He says, "How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights," Song of Solomon 7, verse 6. His love sent him to the cross. Our love for him will enable us to win the prize. "This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes," Song of Solomon 7, verse 7. "This thy stature is like to a palm tree." In Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, we read, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Is that not a description of the bridal company? Praise the Lord, now she has come to full maturity. Ephesians 4:13 also describes the growth and full maturity of this woman. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This verse does not speak of one individual, but of the whole group. Eve, who represents the bridal company, was made from Adam's rib. She was builded into a woman who would be equal with her husband in stature, in mentality, and in every qualification that was needed to make her a helpmeet for Adam. So also will this woman come to that fullness. She is described as a palm tree. This tree in the East is called the bread tree. The natives use the fruit of it as bread. The saints are bread for God. There is a parable in Isaiah about the preparation of bread. First the farmer plows the ground, then harrows it. After that he plants the seed. After the grain has ripened, it is gathered, ground into flour, made into bread, and baked before it can be eaten. The many processes which are required to prepare bread symbolize the various phases of transformation which are required to prepare the saints to be bread for God. He will be strengthened by her dependence upon him. That is the way it is in the natural. If a woman depends upon her husband and exalts him as her head, it strengthens him, gives him stability, courage, and ambitious to provide the things that she needs. "And thy breast to clusters of grapes." This speaks of affection and love which will be like wine to him. Her love will intoxicate him to the greatest degree. Oh, it is wonderful! What an opportunity we have to please our Lord and Savior, to intoxicate him with our love. She will be his sustenance, his delight, his joy and fellowship. Their fellowship will be perfect, and he will be completely satisfied in her love. "I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples." Song of Solomon 7, verse 8. She had been sitting under the apple tree, and his fruit was sweet to her taste. The breath even from her nose is like delicious apples. "And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak." Song of Solomon 7, verse 9. the roof of thy mouth. She has been drinking, too, probably wine from the apple tree. But this is the best wine, the kind that Christ made in Canaan. This wine is the fullness of joy which comes from close fellowship with the Lord. And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine that goeth down sweetly. The bride chimes in, saying, For my beloved. She will not allow anyone but herself to call him my beloved. It will be so for him, too. Surely he will drink of the wonderful wine of her fellowship. Causing the lips of those that are asleep, or of the ancient, to speak. What does this mean? We have a verse in Hebrews 11 that gives us a little idea of what this means. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews 11:4. All of these Old Testament prophets are speaking about the fulfillment of this prophecy of Christ and his bride. It is true that the Old Testament prophets had no revelation of church truth, but think of what Solomon was saying when he was writing this song that we are studying. This was inspired prophecy, which is being fulfilled now in the courtship of Christ and his bride. The words of the Old Testament prophets who spoke of the consummation of this wonderful redemption will be speaking through the fulfillment of the scriptures when this marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Song of Solomon 7, verse 10. This is her statement after she is married to this wonderful man. At last she can say, I have won the prize. The Apostle Paul said that just before he was executed. He said, I have fought a good fight, have finished my course, I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. He knew that a crown would be laid up for him. But here she has really won the crown. She knows of a truth that his desire is toward her. We have a few verses in Psalm 45 that are good instruction for us. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11. If we hear and heed the word of the Lord, we too may be in this chosen company who will receive a crown of righteousness. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Song of Solomon 7, verse 11. This verse introduces their honeymoon. In Matthew 13:38, we read that the field is the world. The vineyards, verse 12, represent Israel. This woman manifests an interest in her husband's affairs immediately after the wedding. The time of Israel's restoration will be drawing near when Christ will reveal himself to the nation. As the overcomers will be associated with Christ in judging the world, so they will be also associated with him in restoring all things unto God. This will begin with the fulfillment of the promises of God to the nation of Israel. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Song of Solomon 7, verse 12. This verse indicates the deep interest this woman will have in the welfare of Israel, which is symbolized by the vineyard and the vine. The pomegranates speak of Israel as a new creation. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gate are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Song of Solomon 7, verse 13. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gate are all manner of pleasant fruits. Mandrakes remind us of the story in Genesis concerning Rachel, who was barren. It seems to have been a superstition that mandrakes would produce fertility. Leah's son found some mandrakes which Rachel obtained by bargaining with Leah. This 13th verse also hints of fruitfulness. The nations will hear the gospel in the kingdom age and shall be saved. Israel will be the firstborn among the nations. New and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. This bride, as is the custom, has been canning fruit in view of her coming marriage. She preserves the word of God in her heart, and it becomes precious fruit for her bridegroom. She is like the scribe in Matthew 13:52, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.